KMIAN.com. I'm Faith.
This is Tani, and today's the second day of the Khmer New Year, so Happy New Year, everyone.
So it's Lai Chanam to May, everyone. Typically, I've been heavily involved in the Seattle Khmer community organizing of different New Year's events and throughout the year, so it's a little bit different. We're kind of not as involved this year. I mean, I'm usually running around getting student organizations to come and perform traditional dances at different events. I had been emceeing for several years, and, you know,
Like eight?
I had emceed one of the bigger events for like, I'd say about 8 years, the Outdoor Street Festival in Seattle. So that's a little bit different to just kind of sit back, enjoy the different celebrations and everything. It's nice, but I also kind of miss it a little bit. And also this year is a little different because I traditionally will go to the temple with my family. And apparently my parents said that the temple that we usually go to got burnt down.
I don't think that's actually that accurate because there are other temples. I mean, there is one that got burnt down, but that wasn't a recent
thing. My parents might have confused it for this other one. But anyways, yeah. They don't seem that excited about this year. They just want to celebrate at home, apparently. And we will get to visit my parents tomorrow, but, you know, it just feels a little more low-key. So for those of you that don't know, Khmer New Year is a three-day-long celebration. And for the longest time, I had always said, us Khmer folks really like to party, so that's why we celebrate the whole weekend. And in the U.S., we celebrate the whole month, practically. I found out yesterday by doing some online research that, of course, there are reasons as to why we celebrate for 3 days. There's some tradition behind that. And I didn't know any of this because my parents didn't teach me at all.
Yeah.
Because of our assimilation process. You know, I'm kind of disconnected.
I mean, you work with what you know, right? And what the people around you know. And
it's just sad that the traditions get lost over time. I mean, my parents don't do some of the cultural traditions either, but
yeah.
They're assimilated too. I mean, yeah. We've been in the U.S. for about 30 years now, so.
Yeah, my mom, she didn't teach me a lot of the, like, traditional Chinese things you're supposed to do before Lunar New Year. It wasn't until, like, about 3 years ago that I, like, did my own research and discovered on, like, Wikipedia and through my other Khmer friend who works at the Wing Luke Museum. She knows a lot more about, like, certain Chinese traditions than I do because she worked there, and so she kind of helped me out. I had a friend, she's Hmong, and she was just like, I'm gonna help you, and she helped me run around Chinatown the day before Chinese New Year to buy all the different things you're supposed to have to start the new year. So yeah, we bought bamboo and fruit and incense and that kind of thing, and she helped me clean, and so it was a really big learning experience for me. And my mom doesn't even do that. She doesn't
like. Tony's like totally anal about it now that she knows. She's like cleaned for so many days this year, and you finally got your mom really into it.
Yeah, I was like, we have to make sure the house is completely clean so that all the dirt is like.
And her mom and I are so lazy. Like, Tani's just frantically cleaning.
Anyways, yeah. And I guess that's part of the assimilation process, you know, like we lose a lot of that, those traditional
got into it a little bit more, didn't she?
Yeah.
Into it a little more.
I know, but like, it's like this role reversal, like all of a sudden I'm the one who's like, okay, we have to do this and this and this because it's, you know, related to our culture. And growing up here, we just lose a lot of that, and our parents like trying to assimilate, they end up letting go of a lot of that.
Part of like the whole assimilation process, isn't it? Like saying your parents come to the U.S. and then as immigrants, they try their best to assimilate. And so some of the cultures and traditions get lost. And so then people in our generation, well, most people in our generation are kind of disconnected. We become disconnected, don't really know the history, don't know the cultures and traditions. And then the generation after us, they try to reclaim it.
Yeah.
But we're kind of like, we want to reclaim it now in our generation.
Yeah, it's usually like you skip a generation and then the very disconnected generation becomes really interested in reconnecting. I really want to reconnect as much as possible because I feel like you only know who you are and where you're at if you know your past. This long history of your past that brought you to where you are now. And so I think it's really important for us to like know these things.
Yeah, for me, New Year's, like American New Year and Cambodian New Year, is one of my favorite holidays because I feel like it's this new beginning. I get to start fresh. I'm all about that. And so I was really annoyed when I called my mom yesterday and she was like, Happy New Year, but we don't really want to go anywhere. They seem so blasé about the New Year and I'm all excited about it.
You want to tell us a little bit of what her story is?
Yeah, so Cambodian New Year marks the end of the harvest season and we're getting ready for the rainy season in April, so we finally get to kick back and relax after working in the farms all year, planting rice and all these other veggies in Cambodia. So that's the history behind it.
Yeah.
You know, we're resting after harvesting. And so
you just sound it funny.
I know. I haven't harvested
planting
any
all
rice.
These veggies.
Sure that's what my family does in Cambodia. We plant cucumbers,
yeah.
And rice. So yeah. I don't know what to say. Anyways, so I started doing my own research, and apparently there's all these traditions that we haven't done. Like every year, I go with my parents to the temple, and we pay homage to our ancestors, pray to Buddha, and all that. But you know, there's all these other things that we've left out in our celebration process in the U.S. So yesterday was the first day, and it's called Mahasankran, which is the official beginning of the new year. We're supposed to light incense and pray to Buddha, and we've done that every year. But another part of that is washing our face, chest, and our feet at different times during the day with holy water, which I've never done. My parents have never done. Today is the second day of the new year, which is Virat Wanabat, and it's supposed to be the day that we are charitable and give to those less fortunate than us. So it's all about community giving and that. So today, Tanya and I are going to go and make some donations with what we have. So tomorrow is the last day of the new year, Tungaling Sakha, which literally means like cleansing away of any suffering. So you're supposed to wash any Buddha statues that you have within your house with perfumed water. And for those that aren't familiar with a lot of Cambodian celebrations that are Buddhist, traditionally what we'll have is water that is perfumes, and then the monks will bless it, and then the monks use that to bless any sort of attendees of the ceremony. And so perfumed water is a big deal in my culture. So we're supposed to take the perfumed water, bathe the Buddhas, and it's supposed to give us longevity, good luck, and prosperity. And then we're also supposed to bathe our grandparents, so the younger generation kids are supposed to bathe our grandparents and parents in the perfumed water as well. But again, that's something that my family has never done. My parents have never asked me to bathe them in perfumed water. I think I would be kind of surprised if they did,
yeah.
Thrown off. So we just stick with going to the temple and going to some of the parties. Those are some of the more traditional ceremonies, but in addition to that, we have the dance parties, there are shows, traditional dance performances. A lot of the college organizations like throughout the U.S. will organize some sort of play or some sort of event. And so there's a pretty much a party every weekend in the month of April for the Cambodian community celebrating the new year, which the celebration in the U.S. are very different from the ones in Cambodia, we realized. Like, Tanya and I were able to experience Cambodian New Year in Cambodia for the first time last year when we visited with my family. And
in what ways?
I would say Long Beach, California, because we have the largest Khmer population, which has the only official Cambodia town in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And they have a huge event every year. They have a New Year's parade, and then they have a big park celebration. But, like, the games that they have are typically games that you'd find at any sort of U.S. American fair or festival, the basketball dunking or, like, darts or stuff. So it's not the traditional Khmer games that you'd find in Cambodia, and I think part of that is like the whole assimilation thing. So it was nice to go to Cambodia with Tani and my parents, and then, you know, we went to this temple in my mom's village. We were able to see a bunch of kids and like their families and everything playing a lot of the traditional games. And do you remember that little girl that was like,
yeah, she beat all these boys and she was so happy and proud, and we were like cheering her on. And
this little girl was so cute. Every time she beat any of like the boys, she kept like looking at us, and she, like, put up her finger, number one, and look at us.
Yeah.
That was so cute.
Yeah, she was really cute.
Anyways, it was nice to have that experience, and it's just very different, I feel.
So what are some traditional my games that you play for in the new year?
Well, the adults like to play Clock Hope, which is, like, this gambling game. Actually, when we were at my dad's village, the kids were playing it too. They were trying to teach my brother.
Yeah, I remember that. It was like a very male thing, right? Like it was all
the
males
were playing it.
Were like crowded around. I didn't know what it was.
I don't want to explain how to play it, but like it's a big game, Clock Cloak, and then the kids play a lot of different games like Let's Sign, Bok Chung, and all that. So it's Bong Gun. There's a lot of different games that we don't play here in the U.S. At least not in the same level where it's like the whole village comes. A lot of the families all live like in the same area. So then there's much more of a community feel. Like when we were in my dad's village, like we had went to the temple within a day, with my immediate family, and then we came back to my dad's village, which he lives only half an hour away from the city. Pretty much every other house in that village is a family member of mine. You know, not very many of us immigrated over. It's pretty much my immediate family that was able to immigrate. Everyone else is still in Cambodia. So the party was big.
Yeah.
And it was kind of crazy to see. Like, we've been to dance parties here in the U.S., and we thought those were big, but, like, the ones in that village, they made it a really, really big deal.
It was just kind of surprising because there's, like, no running water or anything.
There's no running water.
There's no really running water. And, like,
all the houses are, like, on these huts, like, you know.
But somehow they had, like, these huge, like, speakers.
Yeah, it was big.
Quadruple the size of, like, speakers you see at a show in the U.S.
And like, go to a band, event, right?
You go, big, you see a band on stage and a few speakers on each side of the stage. That's, like, really loud. Good
sound. They put all their resources together to get, like, 8, like, large-ass speakers. And, like, they have these backup generators for electricity somehow. I don't know how they're powering it up, but it was loud. I was surprised.
It was just really surprising because there's so many speakers just stacked on top of each other and just all lined up on one side. And I was just like, wow, crazy. And it was so loud.
It was fun.
Yeah,
I even got Tanya to dance. Tanya hates dancing, but, like, she felt obligated.
Your cousin dragged me. Your cousin dragged me out into the dance floor and, like, made me do it.
I got to see Tanya go boom for a second. That was so cute. There's another funny story. It's my New Year's. Supposed to go visit your ancestors, and I was able to visit my grandma's tombstone for the first time. At the temple, going to pay our respects. And, of course, like, the way Tanya is, she's, like, such a butt face. She has to make fun of me everywhere we go. She likes to talk shit. So, as my parents are getting ready for this religious ceremony, we're kind of hanging out just a few feet away.
Well, it was, so, me and a few of our friends sort of make fun of Faith for her fashion sense sometimes. Her clothes kind of reflect, like, the 80s and the 90s.
They're just haters. It's not that bad. I dress just fine.
She dressed just fine. But we like to give her shit, okay? Because that's what friends do.
I don't like to buy clothes.
Anyway, so her dad, like, came in front of us, and he was, like, you know, helping to set up the altar or whatever. And I just noticed, like, he was, like, really fashionable. He looked really, like...
Yeah, his outfit was cooler than mine.
His outfit was really nice, and I was just like, wow. And I, like, sort of nudged Faith and to, like, make fun of her and be like, how come your dad is, like, more in fashion than you are? And then we start cracking up a little bit, and...
She got me in trouble.
And then her mom turned and looked at us, just gave us this look. What are you guys laughing about? What's so funny? Then we realized, oops, this is, like, a serious thing. They're setting up this altar for this, like, ceremony, and we're, like, cracking up, being obnoxious. And so then her mom, like, called her over and was like, okay, you have to be participating in this. And I kind of just stood back. I'll be respectful now. And then, like, something weird happened. I, like, started to... feel funny. I just start to breathe kind of funny, and I don't know what it was all about.
She started struggling because she was talking smack, and my grandma came to my defense.
Yeah, so this is the story, right? And so as I was standing there kind of struggling, and I was kind of like freaking out, I was like, oh, maybe I should, you know, apologize. So I started like sort of praying in my head, like, sorry, I like made fun of Faith, and I, you know. And then after a few seconds later, I felt this wetness on my nose. And I was like, what is that? And I wiped it with my finger and looked at it, and it was yellow.
She thought it might have been rain.
And so I thought, I looked up and I was like, well, it's not raining. It's like really hot. It's like Cambodia in April. So it was really, really hot. And I was like, there's no rain.
It would be pouring rain.
Yeah. So that wasn't what was happening. So then it was very colorful where we were at. It was like the temples. And so I thought maybe it was like powder, you know, I don't know, religious thing, color that like somehow got in my nose. And so I was like really confused. I was looking at it, and I like showed it to Faith's uncle, who's standing next to me, and he like kind of looked at it and chuckled, and we couldn't communicate because he only speaks Khmer and I only speak English. So then it was like I didn't understand what he was saying or what he was laughing about. And then finally he pointed up at the sky, and I looked up at the sky and I was like, I don't get it. And then he pointed at the bird, and then that's when I realized I just got shit on. That was what the yellow thing that was on my nose,
my
that
grandma,
it was now on my
finger.
I was
like, don't talk smack about my granddaughter, I'm gonna have the bird poop on you. That's what you get.
Yeah, so I got pooped on, but you know, as soon as, you know, after I got pooped on, I like that whole situation, I started to feel better. I don't know what happened, but yeah,
well,
they started cracking up at me.
My culture says it's good luck. So my parents have taught me since I was a child that if you get pooped on by a bird, it's apparently good luck. So I think my grandma just gave you a warning, and then after that, it's okay, fine. You're blessed to go. Take care of my granddaughter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
So anyways, we're excited about the new year. We're going to go and continue to celebrate for the rest of the weekend and for the rest of the month. So for all the other Cambodians out there, Happy New Year. We hope it's a good one.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everyone.
And until next time,
let's be Asian for life.